Welcome, my Chicana and Latina moms. This space has been created only for you, solo para nosotras, Chicanas and Latina moms. In these episodes that I share with you, I talk about self-care and self-love and how to empower your being. You are not alone, and this is a revolution. We will continue to fight for what is right for our being, starting with our own mental health, to be able to help and inspire those in need, starting with ourselves, our kids, our family, our community. I hope you enjoy all of these episodes that I record for you with all of my corazón, para todas mis hermanas, Chicanas and Latina moms. Hey, my Chicana and Latina sisters, please do not forget to leave a review and give me your feedback. I would really appreciate it. This also helps other new listeners know what we're about. Gracias. Hola, doctora Ivette. Gracias por estar aquí y hacer este tiempo. Thank you so much for being here. And so that our listeners can know about you, tell us about yourself.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be, you know, here with you and your audience today. And who am I? My name is Ivette Martinez Vu. I usually say I'm like a first gen Chicana. And usually I also say Chicana PhD mother scholar. I am originally from the Southern California area. So I was born and raised in the San Fernando Valley for folks who know that area. And raised by a single mom with six kids. And I was the first in my family to go to college. So first generation in the US and then first gen in college. And my path was not a very like straightforward path, even in going to college. When I arrived college, I didn't know what to major in. I didn't really know about my options. Initially, I wanted to major. I was like, it's either going to be English, math, or neuroscience. And none of them made any sense.
Oh my gosh.
And it was just, math always came easy to me. English, I liked. I've had one teacher who was a really nice teacher who believed in me, even though I always struggled in English because of my ESL background. Spanish was my first language, but I was interested in it. I liked reading, didn't like the writing as much. And then neurosciences, because my dad actually passed away when I was 12 years old of a sudden brain aneurysm. Oh, like wow. From one day to the next, he collapsed. We had no idea. So I wanted to learn more about the brain and how it worked and like why it happened and all of that. And then I took one neuroscience class in college and like, I was like, nope.
You're like, never mind.
Yeah. And then math, as it got more advanced, I was like, yeah, it's kind of, I like, it's not for me. So I stuck to English, not knowing other options. And honestly, I didn't love English. What I did love was theater, like of all things. Like I grew up and we were like working class, like, you know, even borderline like poor growing up. And when my dad was around, it was an abusive background, like household. And so my escape as a child was being in theater. I was in theater clubs, I was in drama club, I would act. And so I continued that on in college. That was where my passion was in acting. And so I did that as a theater minor. And then I was also in different performances in college. But then I applied for a fellowship program called the Mellon Mays Undergraduate Fellowship that prepares like first generation underrepresented students to go into becoming a professor and to diversify higher education. And so at that point I was like, okay, I'm set. I'm gonna become a theater professor. That's gonna be my career.
Yeah.
And so I decided to apply. That's kind of how I went into my doctoral program. And I'll share more about my story, but like when I went into grad school, there were a couple of key things that happened that completely changed my life. The first one was I developed a chronic illness in 2011, just a lot of issues with like my tummy issues and migraines and just a bunch of health issues that just kind of imploded with burnout and me having a breakdown and realizing I was doing too much and needed to slow down. So that was 2011. And then in 2013, I had my son. So my partner then, you know, at that point we were already married. We decided to try for a baby. And I had no idea, like I was not physically or mentally prepared because I actually suffered complications with my pregnancy and with my child, with the birth of my child. I hemorrhaged, I lost 3 liters of blood. I had to have a bunch of procedures to save my life. And then after that, my body was not the same again. And I struggled with postpartum depression. And I'm very open about it because it was a really, really rough time for me. And it was a combination of therapy and medication, having support, even getting childcare, part-time, working to be able to afford part-time childcare. All of that helped me to get better. So it was that, it was the chronic illness, it was having my child, and then realizing academia is kind of a lot, you know, it's a very like white supremacist, classist, racist, sexist space. And so near the end of my grad school journey, I decided, I don't know that I want to do this anymore. I want to do something different. So that's kind of what started me on my path of like not becoming a professor, but then working in student support services. So I helped other students apply to grad school and get into top programs through my, you know, post-PhD employment. And then last year was actually when I said, you know what, I think I'm going to leave higher ed altogether and move my family abroad and start my own business doing what I've been doing, helping to support first gen students of color.
Yeah.
And that's what I've been doing since then.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. Okay. So you mentioned you decided to move. ¿Por qué te nos fuiste tan lejos?
Oh my gosh. You know, it wasn't like a quick, oh, I'm just going to move abroad. I am not that person. I'm not even someone that has traveled a lot. Travel's really hard for me and my body. And it's also expensive. I mean, or at least I was under the impression that it was very expensive. Now I'm realizing if you want to travel, there are ways to travel on a budget.
Yeah.
But anyway, it all started with me breaking down, like reaching a low point during the pandemic of I had had my second child. So I decided to try for a second child, got pregnant. I was pregnant all of 2020, had her near the end of 2020.
Oh, wow.
And so this was 2021 when I broke down. It was Mexican Mother's Day. It was May 10th, 2021. That was the day that I realized like, I can't do this anymore. I need to do something else. I need to move. I don't know where we're going to move, but we need to move. And so my husband and I started talking about, is there a possibility for us to live off of one income or for me to take a break, temporary break, because this is too much. I was, you know, breastfeeding my daughter and then working full time and homeschooling my son and dealing with my chronic health flare-ups. It was just too much. I was working all day and all night and hardly really like having quality time with my family. So it became too much. And so it was in thinking about where could we afford to move where I don't have to work as much. That was when we thought, okay, maybe we can't afford to stay in California. And so we started thinking about moving out of state. But then I was thinking about healthcare and how that's a big need for me and for my family, because my husband is disabled too. And so he has his own set of health issues too. So with that in mind, we started thinking maybe we could try for moving. We've always considered moving out of state, but we were like, what if we try to move out abroad? Like, why don't we move to a country where they provide healthcare, like affordable, accessible healthcare? And so we started hopping like countries in our head, like with our checklist of like, what are our needs?
Yeah.
And so in hopping countries, there was, it's always something that I thought, I don't know about that. It's too cold. It's too hot. It's not diverse enough. That language is going to be way too hard for me to learn. The healthcare is not great. You know, like always something.
Yeah.
And then we landed somehow on Portugal. And I was like, wow, it actually like checks the boxes. I've never been there, but it sounds like a great option for us. So it's the third safest country. as you know, a pretty good education system, affordable, and actually universal healthcare. So you don't have to have private insurance. It's encouraged, but you don't have to. Everybody's afforded kind of the public healthcare system.
Yeah.
And so with that, and I was like, oh, my kids will learn another language. How cool is that? So all those things, all those factors. And then the cost of living was a huge one. It's a lower cost of living for us as Californians. It's not low cost of living for locals here, which is unfortunate. It is getting to be very expensive for the locals here just because of their salaries being low. But for us, it's a little more affordable. And so we decided to take the leap. And after making that decision in May, that month, 6 months later, we landed in Portugal. So that's how quick, you know, it's like your life can change when you make a decision and you commit.
And where's your husband from?
Well, he's actually from the same area, from the San Fernando Valley. We were just like a couple of cities away growing up. We didn't meet until college, but we lived in the similar area. But he's actually Vietnamese American. So his family's from Vietnam, but also first gen, also, you know, child of immigrants, all that. Yeah.
Do you think that helped a lot? You know, with that decision, because if si hubiera sido otro Chicano, he would have been like, you know?
You know, my mom loves him. She's like, mija, él nunca te dice no. Él cumple todos sus deseos. And I was like, actually, mom, now that you put it that way, I was like, you know what? You're right. Like, he's never said no to any of my propositions. So long as I can, like, justify it and make an argument and like support it, which I can. I mean, come on now, with my PhD, I can support my claims. Yeah. He's just like, oh, that makes sense. Okay, let's do it, you know?
Yeah, that's so cool. Oh my God. So it's been how long then? Like a year? No.
See? No, it actually has only been like 7 months now, or six, 7 months. It hasn't been that long. It feels a little longer, but it hasn't been that long.
So you guys are planning to like to stay out there until the kids get older, or como que are you getting homesick, or?
You know what? I am not sure. So we moved here thinking, you know what, we're going to test it out, test the waters, and try it out for at least a year. And if we don't like it, we'll move back. But we did apply for our residency so we can stay here for up to two years and then we can renew it. And if we like it after 2 years, we'll renew it. And then at the 5 year mark, you actually are eligible to apply for your citizenship. So we'll be eligible to become Portuguese citizens, which then means we are European citizens, which means we have access to moving and living in Europe, so any other European country. And that would then give our kids access to the EU and also the schooling system in Europe, which like blows my mind, because I'm like, oh, they're going to have way more options than I ever did as a child. Yeah.
So cool.
Kudos. So no sabemos. We're just kind of playing it by ear right now. We are enjoying our time. If it gets to be too difficult, I think it'll be my decision more than my husband, because he's loving it here. But I'm the one that's more attached to family than he is. So I'm the one that's starting to feel a little bit homesick, I'm not going to lie. But not home, like the location, but just it's the people.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm sure that at some point you can go back, visit, and then...
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that is so good. So I guess, you know, I know you have your doctorate degree. So who inspired you? Like, tell us about that. Because that's interesting. I've always had that person in me, and I'm just like, oh my God, there's so much work. I'm going to be so drained. Like, is it worth it? Like, and I'm sure I'm not alone. So, like, can you share a little bit about that? And I mean... What wisdom you can share with us?
Oh my goodness. So who inspired me? I think that the person that, and not surprising, that has inspired me throughout my entire journey is my mom. My mom, you know, my dad passed away. Suddenly she was left with six kids to support financially by herself. She has her own little business, a little botanica. And I have seen how she has supported us with her own little business since then. And it's still afloat to this day. And my mom, her strength, like now as an immigrant mom myself, I'm, you know, as a mom of two, having to deal with the language barrier. I don't know Portuguese. I understand some of it, but I don't speak it fluently. Yeah. I have a deep like respect and admiration for my mom, like I never even, I think, had realized before. So I've always looked up to her and her hard work and just her always being supportive of anything I did. Like I could have majored in, I don't know, in arts and crafts or sewing or whatever, and she would have been supportive. My mom was always like, you know, mija, I know you're smart, like do whatever you want to do. I know you'll be successful. And so that's kind of what kept me going, was just in college. Not, I'll be honest, I didn't know a lot about my job options after college. I was like, well, what am I going to do with a bachelor's degree in English? Like everybody I knew that wasn't in some sort of engineering or technical type of degree was working, just like going back home and working retail, working at a coffee shop or whatnot. And I didn't feel like I had that option because there was no room at my mom's home for me to move back. So I was the first to also move out of my mom's house. And so without that, I thought, okay, what's the next best thing? I'm a good student. I have always done very well. I can live off of my scholarships or fellowship, and I'll just keep doing what I'm doing. So it was actually through the support of mentors in college that I was able to pursue the PhD. And I shifted from English to theater and performance studies. So my PhD is actually in theater, which is funny because I didn't do any performing in grad school. I studied theater. And I realized, I was like, I like studying it, but I also like working with people, and I like being kind of out in the public. Like my favorite part was, you know, oddly enough, like presenting. So presenting my work and connecting with others. So yeah, that the my biggest, I guess, inspiration was my mom, but then the support was through the support of programs in college and through my mentors that I continued on. I didn't really like know 100% what I got myself into, which is why I'm so passionate about demystifying and like sharing the good, the bad, the ugly about college and grad school, is because I just went in kind of sight unseen and then was like, what the hell did I get myself into in this PhD program? All these people are speaking another language, like they're using very big words and quoting all these fancy scholars, and I'm like, who are these people? Like I was like constantly Googling and looking up acronyms and looking up words, and I was so out of place. But I realized, I was like, actually, like if I was able to navigate this and I finished, like I could probably do anything.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You're right. It's so much work, right? And there's a lot of sacrifices, right?
Yeah.
And I'm glad you see, you know, our parents, right, immigrate to this country. So definitely that desire to thrive, right? Like, we saw their struggles and now it's como que, okay, I see it. Okay, I'm going to take it and run with it. A ver donde llego, and continuing to implement knowledge, right, in our lives. Like you said, you want to share your journey with so many of people in our community, right? First generation that, I mean, I consider myself one, definitely, like navigating financial aid, like what the heck?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah, my mom did not want to give me no information.
I made so many mistakes. My mom did not give me money either.
¿Cómo que me da tus taxes and mis taxes? No. So funny. But okay, so it's your mom, the one that inspired you, definitely. And I'm sure your dad, ¿verdad? You know.
Yeah, my dad, you know what? Like, as much as like he was a very complicated figure in my life in terms of like, because he was abusive, but also I know he struggled with his mental health. Like now, as someone who can see it from another perspective, he struggled with his mental health, but he was also very adamant and like prioritized our education. Like we had to have straight A's. He would show up to parent-teacher conferences. He'd show up to any educational thing. And so that's one thing that like I take from him to this day, is like, yeah, I am involved in my kids and their schooling and their education, and I show up to things as best I can because I know that that meant a lot to me growing up. Yeah,
that's really nice, because a lot of fathers sometimes, not that they don't want to, but they're always working, they don't show up to any of that, you know. Mm-hmm. And like you said, right, our parents are not perfect, but they did what they thought was best at that time.
Yeah, they did. They really did.
Yeah. So tell us about the Chicana mother work.
Oh my gosh. So Chicana mother work, those are my comadres. So I'll tell you kind of the story behind how we came together as a collective. So we are a collective of five Chicanas who are also academics. So all of us have our PhDs, and we focus on writing and sharing and publishing and like presenting, just basically sharing knowledge about the experiences of Chicanas and mothers of color in academia. So, you know, all the struggles and the things that keep us going. We got together as a collective in, what year was it? 2014, I think. One of my friends, so she was a mom herself. She read this article called something about like navigating the terrains of Chicana single motherhood in academia. Mm-hmm. And we're like, what? A Chicana single mama? Like, as she's a professor, like, who is this person? We read the article, and we heard of where she talks about her own experiences.
Yeah.
And that testimony was so powerful that we're like, oh my gosh, we have to meet this mujer. Mm-hmm. And so we emailed her kind of like thinking, oh, she might not even get back to us. She might like ignore us. Like, well, who is she? Like, she's going to be like, who are you? These grad students. Yeah. And we asked her if she wanted to be on a panel so we could present on the topic of being a mother of color in academia. Mm-hmm. And she said yes. And we're like, what? And so during that time, we needed two more speakers. Uh-huh. And I was a grad student at UCLA. And usually I was always in like the north side of campus, which is where like all the social science and humanities people hang out. South side is like the STEM people. So that day I was pregnant at the time, and I randomly decided maybe I had a craving. I don't know. I was like, I'm going to go eat over there. And so I sat down. I was just eating my lunch, wearing my cute earrings and like a little red, like rolly bag. And this other Chicana approaches me, and she's like, oh, I love your earrings and I love your bag. Where'd you get it? And then we start talking. And then she's like, oh, blah, 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 I'm a Chicana from the Valley. I was like, what? I'm a Chicana from the Valley. Oh, blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm pregnant and due in November. What? I stand up and I'm like, I'm pregnant. Because sitting down, she couldn't see my belly. So I stand up, all of a sudden, she sees my belly. And I was like, how? How are two Chicanas like in this part of campus meeting for the first time? So I invited her, and then she invited her friend, and that became the collective. We realized in presenting on mothers of color in academia, we realized we're all Chicanas, we're all first gen, you know, we all are daughters of immigrants. We had a lot of similar kind of backstories, and we started to just write our testimonials and share our testimonials and present on them, and people would relate. Like at that time, not a lot of people were talking about what it's like to be a mom in college or in grad school or as a professor, and social media wasn't as big, so there weren't a lot of testimonials out there on those experiences. And so we started doing that work then in 2013, 2014. And since then, we've kind of just like, we continue to do the work. We published an anthology in 2019, and now we're kind of brainstorming. We're thinking about possibly our next project might be a kids book. We've been wanting to do that. So we're kind of slowly trying to get back into the groove of things with COVID and everything. We've just mostly been supporting each other as comadres. And now we're kind of, I think we're ready for the next stage, which might be another book, hopefully a kids book. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so good. I saw this title. I love it. The Chicana Motherwork Anthology, porque sin madres no hay revolución.
That is
so powerful. That's so true. Yeah.
You know what? There's this Chicana Latina anthology about like the history of Chicana Latinas in the US. And in the cover, there's this cover of like these Chicana activists. Huh? And then one of my friends looked up that image. And the actual image is a cropped out image. There's actually a baby in the image. There's like someone holding a baby, but that part of the image was cropped. And we're like, and like, it just reminds us of how like in a lot of social movements, it's at the forefront, there have been a lot of moms, and there's been a lot of like gendered labor. And that doesn't always get like seen. Right. Yeah.
That is so true. Yeah, because it's, you know, somos leonas, you know, when it comes to our kids. And definitely, that is so good. And now, obviously, you shared, you like to share your journey. So can you tell us about your podcast?
Oh, yeah. So, well, my podcast, and it's funny because Chicana Motherwork is a podcast, too. We've been kind of like a little silent lately, but we have a podcast, too, the Chicana Motherwork podcast. And that's actually how I learned about podcasting, was through that, through Chicana Motherwork. But my podcast, I started in 2019. It's called Grad School Femtoring. So at the time, I was the assistant director of the McNair Scholars Program at UC Santa Barbara. And so in my role, I would guide and advise students as they were preparing for mostly PhD programs, so a combination of master's and PhD programs. Yeah. And I noticed that there were a lot of students who were coming to me asking me the same things, like, how do you ask for a letter of rec? Or how do you apply to this program? Or like, what do you do if this situation happens? And I kept repeating myself. And then at some point, folks were asking me to be their mentor, their femtor. And I thought, like, there's got to be a way for me to share this information and make it accessible so that it's not just my students that get it, because they're amazing, but also this information should be shared more widely. So I decided, I was just messing around, because at the time, Chicana Motherwork were like, let's try to figure out if there's a better way to record. And I was trying to look up better apps. And I ran into the Anchor app. And that's what I use for my platform. And I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. If I had a podcast, what would it be? I was like, well, I can talk all day about grad school. And then I was like, and I'm a femtor, I'm a feminist mentor. So grad school femtoring, that's what I'm going to call it. So it was just like, I wasn't even thinking much about it. And I started to just record on the most frequently asked topics. And at that time it was related to applying to grad school, but now it's, you know, a wide range of anything related to supporting first-gen students of color in applying and also successfully navigating. So I like to include topics related to financial literacy and self-care and career options and productivity tips, getting organized, writing tips. So it's a little bit of everything related to grad school. And I bring in a lot of really amazing guest speakers too. Yeah.
That is so awesome. You know, when you first sent me information, I was like, mentoring. I was like, I've never heard of that. And I'm like, oh, mentor. Oh, okay. Yeah, I was like, that is so cool. I love it. Definitely. And it's, like you said, it's definitely needed, you know, the ongoing same questions, right? And when we even share it with our own, the same Spanglish or vocab, it definitely kind of clicks a little like different sometimes, right? So yeah.
It's my favorite part of like what I do, because I get to connect with so many amazing individuals and I get to share everything that I learn. I mean, I'm a big nerd when it comes to like personal, professional development. And so as I learn, I love to share all that stuff, all the things that I'm like, oh, I wish somebody would have told me this. I just put it out there.
Yeah. Oh, that is really nice. Thank you for creating that space, because it's needed.
Well, same to you with this podcast. I mean, when we started podcasting, I had not seen any Chicana Latina podcasts. So this is a big deal, is to have this podcast. And you've had it for a few years too, right?
Yeah, like four. Yeah.
See, that's being an OG.
I'm almost
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you. So I guess, you know, to kind of get to close this, what advice would you give to those moms who want to go back to school, pero como que pues están pensando mucho because they doubt themselves?
Oh my goodness. So one, I have a lot of things that I can say for folks who, you know, mamas who want to go back to school. One is, don't tell yourself no. Like, don't be the one to tell yourself no. You think, I'm not going to get in, I'm never going to get in. I've seen people with all kinds of GPAs, little to no research experience, terrible test scores, get in. And how is it that they do it? It's because they learn about the process of like how, you know, anything you need, you can listen to my podcast. I have the topic is covered. Like, how do you write a statement of purpose? You can do it. But let someone else say no. Like, you will never know if you're going to get in if you don't try. So first of all, like, let other people say no to you. Don't be the one to say no to yourself. Mm-hmm. Two, like, I always tell this to myself is no means next. If for some reason you apply and you don't get in, that means that you're being redirected to another opportunity and there will be a program that's a good fit for you no matter your circumstances. So if you really want to go to grad school, I would encourage you to like not give up and to connect, to start to network with folks. So reach out to people, whether you know them or it could be a cold call. You could not know them, look them up on LinkedIn, folks who are in the program that you're interested in, and meet with them, ask them what their experience is like, what advice they have for you. Sometimes they're even willing to look over your materials. And then you should also do informational interviews. So that's when you reach out to people in your career of choice who are doing like your dream job. Ask them if they have 15, 30 minutes of their time for you to ask, you know, how did they get to that position? Like, what is a day in the life? Sometimes you think you want to pursue something and then you realize like what it's actually like day in and day out. And you can ask them like, what's your favorite part of your job? What's your least favorite part of your job? And maybe you might realize, actually, I kind of don't want to do that anymore. And so I would say, yeah, network, do the informational interviews, like meet with folks in that program. And then little by little, like in doing that, you'll get referred to other people to talk to. You'll get advice. You'll get people who are willing to help you and support you. And it's those baby steps. It's like getting in the habit of like consistently working on your dream and not letting one no or one person who doesn't want to meet with you or one rejection or whatever it is, like, don't let that one thing get in the way. Just like keep little by little working on it. Before you know it, you're going to be in a program. You're going to finish a program. You're going to be applying for jobs. You're going to be getting a job and hopefully getting closer to living a life that like is aligned with your values and with your dreams and goals. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I like what you said. No means next, right?
Yes.
Cuando más es allí, like, síguele echando esa energía en
nadie. Yes.
Quieres poder, right? Pero pues conexión también.
Claro que sí. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, that is so good. Well, thank you, Doctora Yvette, for making the time. And I hope you can come back soon, definitely. And wish you all the best in all you do on the hasta allá de lejos donde estás. And hope maybe see you over here one day.
I know. Well, I have to come visit. So, yeah.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Thank you. Thank you, Chicana and Latina Moms, for listening. And stay tuned for more.
Gracias por escuchar. Thank you so much for tuning in the Chicana and Latina Moms podcast. You can find me on Instagram at Chicana_Latina Moms Podcast. And also, don't forget to leave a review. Gracias.